Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Zhao et al. Titled, Optical Projection Tomography Permits Efficient Assessment of Infarct Volume in the Murine Heart Post-Myocardial Infarction. This article published online June 12, 2015. My guests today are Associate Editor Ajay Shah, Lead Author Jillian Gray, and content expert Michael Marber. Let's get started.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Jillian. Hello, everyone. So the paper we're discussing today is a really interesting paper looking at essentially innovative methodology, optical projection tomography, for use in quantification of infarct size experimentally. So perhaps we can kick off with you, Jillian. If you could just give us a quick overview of the methodology and your main findings.
Okay, yeah, so the methodology optical projection tomography was developed here in Edinburgh initially to look at embryo development, and we decided we wanted to use this method to try to image the heart, identifying the problem of getting a three-dimensional measure of infarct volume. So essentially, the relatively straightforward tissue preparation, the heart is perfused and fixed, and then placed in agarose, and then placed into the optical projection tomography equipment. And then a light is shone on the heart, and the heart is rotated, and we get an emission of light, which is recorded by a camera. The heart's rotated by 0.9 degrees, so we can take 400 different images of the heart at different angles, and then we use clever software to reconstruct the image and allow us to measure infarct volume.
Okay, that gives us a good initial idea of how this works. So Mike, your initial thoughts on this paper?
Well, simply, absolutely beautiful images. So I think I'd encourage the readers to download the video, which is in the data supplement, which gives a very nice 3D render illustration of what an infarcted heart looks like. And it's a perspective you seldom see as an experimental cardiologist, where you basically see thick, short-axis cross-sections which are used for analysis. But the question, I suppose, is will this replace standard histology? And there, I think it's a matter of, in the manuscript, it's clear this is quite a quick procedure. But Jillian, can you give an idea of what the sort of differential advantage would be in time between, say, doing Mason's trichome and OPT?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for your comments on the images. We were absolutely stunned with the beautiful pictures. Yeah, so the time differential with this technique, a lot of the time is invested in preparation of the tissue. So in perfusion, fixing it, and you have to put it through several steps for clearing optically clearing the tissue. That takes several days. But then once you've actually got the tissue in agarose, the imaging itself is relatively quick. So you can do one heart in about 20 minutes. And then the analysis for the whole heart is about 40 minutes. So what we tend to do is collect a lot of hearts and do all the tissue preparation at the same time. So you can do them all in parallel. Then we have lots of agarose blocks and you can spend a day doing the imaging and then the analysis. I guess with histology, it's a different order of things. So you tend to get the hearts put into wax blocks and you spend a lot of time cutting the wax blocks and then staining them and staining the sections, and then imaging the sections and analysing the sections. So, and to get this level of detail, you would really have to stain, I would say, we've got 400 sections there. If you were to do that with histology, it would take you several days at least for the preparation and a lot more for the analysis.
So, Gillian, obviously that would seem to be an advantage. One of the questions I had was, in the paper, you compared OPT with MRI, late gadolinium enhancement method, and with histology. And my question was, do you think that you are looking at slightly different things with each of the three methods?
As far as histology goes, when you're using Mason's trichrome, you know what you're using. So you know that you're staining collagen, for example, but what we don't know with OPT is exactly what's giving us the signal. That's one of the things we've touched upon in the manuscript. We don't know where the signal's coming from. But we do get very good correlation of infarct size with histology. In the 2D sections, it's really excellent. So we're picking up something similar. With the MRI, I think there's been a lot of discussion about what MRI does pick up and whether it also picks up some edema that picks up fluid clearly. So it's picking up something slightly different, but in general, it picks up the infarct area.
And then a related issue, which I think, Mike, you were mentioning when we discussed this earlier, was the issue of timing after infarct. And the question is whether or not it would be similarly useful at very early time points or late time points. Is that important, do you think, Mike?
I think it's crucial. In the article, Gillian in the discussion goes through what is actually giving rise to the autofluorescence signal. I think, Gillian, you mentioned that part of the autofluorescence is going to be from reduced NADPH and FAD, which is a similar species to tetrazoleum staining. So, I mean, do you think there's any possibility this could be used before there is mature scar formation?
Actually, yes, I do, and it's something we'd like to look at. I think it's there's a very good chance that we could take hearts off within a few hours of reperfusion injury and pick up differences there, and that's something that I'm hoping to do in the next few months. As far as the later stages go, we're actually using this routinely now for measurement of infarct size in the lab, and we've been staining hearts just recently from 3 weeks after injury, where most of the infarct scar is already thinned, and we get very good measurements of infarct volume, so they're really quite beautiful, those images as well. We chose 7 days really because we knew already that there was quite a mixture of tissue in the infarct area, and we wanted to see whether we could pick up those differences, and I think we showed, especially if you look at the video, you can really see that we can pick up quite big differences within the infarct itself.
So, Gillian, it's sort of related to that. If the injury is non-transmural, can the technique still pick it up? So some of the images, it looked like you did have mixed viable and scar tissue, but does it have the sensitivity to look at partial thickness infarcts?
Well, absolutely, I would say it has. We haven't yet tried it in reperfused tissue, which is, I guess you'd get more heterogeneity in that area, but I'm pretty confident we would be able to pick up less than full thickness infarcts, yeah.
And do you think the preparation of the tissue for imaging itself has any impact?
Just like any technique, yeah, the tissue preparation is involved and you will get some response to the chemicals. So with standard histology, you get shrinkage of the tissue. We certainly would get shrinkage with this, the techniques here. But I think we're confident that the overall structure is similar. We are able to pick up staining for macrophages and so on later on. So I don't think there's a problem particularly with the overall tissue structure. The relative infarct size will be affected, but I don't think that's necessarily any different to any other imaging procedure. Every one of them's got some kind of issue with the tissue preparation.
Okay. So Gillian, when people look at these fantastic images online and they think about maybe I should use this method, how would they actually do it? Is the hardware available? Can you buy it? How does it work?
The hardware was initially developed by, so this was, the technique was developed, as I said, by James Sharp, who was a fellow at the Medical Research Council Human Genetics Unit in Edinburgh. And after he developed it, the MRC made it into a company, a spin-out company, but it's not produced anymore. However, I think part of the reason it wasn't successful commercially was that it's relatively easy to make the equipment. And if anyone's interested in doing that, there's a beautiful paper published in PLOS One a couple of years ago where they really describe how to make your own optical projection tomography setup. So I think it's very accessible to make this kind of kit.
Good. Are you going to try that, Mike?
I think I may come and visit and decide. So this is a more of a philosophical question, Gillian. So, I mean, we're obviously trying from a 3R's point of view to limit the number of animals we use. And this technique has absolutely, I mean, from the images, it's clear, absolutely superb resolution. But part of the variation is going to be the analytical technique, and part of it is going to be biological. And my view is the biological variation is much, much bigger than the analytic variation. So the question is, you know, is this really sort of slight analytic overkill? It's got, you know, images are absolutely fantastic. It correlates extraordinarily highly with very high resolution histology. But do you really need this level of precision when there is much, much larger biological variation?
Well, it's good to have some philosophy in here as well, I guess. I can see your point, and certainly I think anyone who's used this model for any length of time knows that there's a huge variation in the size of infarct you get. But on the other hand, I think it's very valuable to measure the volume of the infarct rather than just individual sections, because I'm sure you'll know from imaging, whether it's in vivo or in vitro, depending where you take those sections, you can really get quite different measurements of infarct size. So I think the volume takes away that chance of people taking sections at different areas, and it doesn't completely get rid of the variability, but I think it helps a lot to measure the whole volume, not just individual sections.
So philosophy usually is a good time point to bring things to a conclusion. So the final question from you, Gillian. What are you going to do with this method next, beyond looking at different time points?
One of the main things I'm interested in the lab is looking at angiogenesis after myocardial infarction. So we'd really like to explore how we can use this technique to look at blood vessels. What we didn't show in the video there is that if depending on how you view the image, you can actually pick up some vessels just based on autofluorescence. But we could get much bigger, better visualization of vessels by possibly putting some resin through the heart, or there's various other probes you can put in that would pick up the vessels very well. So I think our next goal is to develop looking at the vasculature in the heart using this technique. And because we've got an increasing range of these optical probes, I think there's some really exciting imaging we could do to get a three-dimensional view of what's going on in relation to the macrophages and the blood vessels and other things that are going on during infarct healing, perhaps even regeneration of the heart.
Sounds really interesting and really fertile ground for further work. Great. So thank you very much indeed, Gillian and Michael and Cara, and thank you all for listening.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.